Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
I hate you so much.
Why do you hate me? We've got to do it. The people have spoken.
Did you know that caterpillars also become moths as well as butterflies?
No.
They're more likely to become moths.
I'm going to suggest something. Why don't we not talk about J.K. Rowling and you just read out nature facts for 20 minutes?
How many species of moths do you think there are?
In the world?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be conservative because I usually go overboard.
Mm.
374.
Oh, wait, let's go for the UK.
In the UK?
Yeah, sorry, I can't find a world fact. So let's go for the UK.
In the UK, I think there are 84 species of moths.
There are 2,500 species of moths in the UK. Okay, how many species of butterfly do you think there are in the UK?
Well, now I don't fucking know anything. All right, well, would there be more or less than moths?
Well, that's the interesting question. What do you think?
I mean, that's a lot of moths. Mm-hmm. But I feel like butterflies, there must be way more variation. I swear I see loads of crazy different butterflies in my life.
So you would think, wouldn't you?
I'm going to...
I'm playing, messing with your brain.
I'll go for 4,000.
There are 59 species of butterflies.
What?
In the UK. 57 resident species and 2 regular migrants, the painted lady and the coloured yellow.
Why are there so many moths?
Well, exactly. But moths, do you know, I've realised I give moths such a hard time. I think they're amazing. And now,
nah, they're creepy.
We love butterflies because they're colourful.
And they're not needy. Moths are very needy.
Only to light bulbs.
Yeah, but I'm always near a light bulb, so...
You just sat in the dark. Do you like butterflies?
They're all right.
I can't imagine you galloping through a field, butterflies around you.
You don't know what I do in my free time. We're not friends.
Just see if
the
I
other
do
day you sent me a text and you said Tilly.
Mm.
And it made me feel slightly like I work for you, not that we're friends. And I screenshotted it and I sent it to Josh, who is our mutual friend and my housemate, although he's not with me at the moment, just to have some empathy in the club of people who feel like maybe secretly Helen hates us.
Yeah, Josh really thinks that about me. I don't understand. Do I present myself as really false?
No, I just think sometimes I don't know what it is. I think you're just so charismatic and likeable. But then sometimes you'll do things like you'll call me my full name in a text and I'll think, what have I done wrong?
I like to use people's names. I think it's familial, no? What text was it? I'm now going to be paranoid for the rest of my life.
Oh, no, it was just fun. It was just because we're both scared that you hate us because we like you so much.
I'm now scrolling back through our messages. Tilly.
Oh, as in what text did you send me? Oh, I'll find it.
Yeah.
I'll find
thanks,
it.
Tilly. Was it thanks, Tilly?
Yeah, I think it might have been.
And 3 love hearts. Was it that
well,
one?
Well, look, if we're going to get into the love heart discourse...
I put 3 love hearts. Would you have preferred me to just say thanks? No, Tilly. Is it because I didn't then reply with anything other than I didn't ask a question or have a follow-up?
I think I'm just oversensitive.
Because I used your name.
I know. And I know you love me, and it was never in any doubt that you love me. It's just funny that I'm still afraid that you don't like me.
This is a test of who is the more paranoid, because you're really paranoid that I don't love you, but I'm now really paranoid that I send passive-aggressive text messages. Oh, we'll both forever be insecure.
Let's just live in pain.
Well, we've done our facts about butterflies.
So I guess we'll talk about J.K. Rowling.
Should I read the Wikipedia?
Yeah, we've been thinking about doing her for a while, but I mean, she really has just fully shat herself in public now.
Yeah.
So...
Okay. Oh, God. God.
Are you on the Wikipedia?
Joanna Rowling. Yeah. CHOBE. Born the 31st of July 1965. She is 54. Better known by her pen name, J.K. Rowling, is a British author, screenwriter, producer and philanthropist. She's best known for writing Harry Potter fantasy series, which has won multiple awards, sold more than 500 million copies, and becoming the best-selling book series in history. The book's the basis of a popular film series, blah, 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 blah. Then she did loads of other stuff, which, you know, isn't
less good.
Yeah.
You are a Harry Potter mega fan.
Correct.
So how do you feel about
it's interesting
that's happening?
It's a real, I feel like there, I don't have the answer to this, but so for context, she's become quite known, hasn't she, particularly within like leftist circles, as being this really problematic public figure. And recently, if you're not aware, which you probably are, but you might not be if you live in a different country or you're avoiding social media, she tweeted
I think it's become quite mainstream now, and it's in like the big papers and stuff, mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, no, completely like front page, mm-hmm. on all sides of the argument, isn't it? She tweeted in response to an article that was talking about people who menstruate. She said, I think there used to be a word for those people, womag, womba, implying woman. And she's been known to being sort of under the radar vocal about trans issues in the past. And she's clearly got a position where she believes that sex is biological and that there's a danger to sort of quote unquote women, you know, non-trans women. Because of the trans debate, and that's sort of become much more mainstream, hasn't it, her views. And now Daniel Radcliffe has come out, and so has Hermione Granger, and so has Ginger Spice, saying that they're, you know, trans women are women, trans men are men, and Harry Potter can be for you whatever you need it to be. So I don't really have the solution, but I do think they make a really interesting provocation, which is, can the literature still hold the values that it did for so many people when they were growing up, which were ones of compassion and good versus evil and having a really strong moral compass, when the author of those things is saying things that a lot of people find really troubling.
Yeah, and I thought Dan Radcliffe's statement was brilliant.
Oh, God, he's just so gorgeous.
Yeah, but just the fact that, you know, he made it clear that he doesn't agree with her views, but he still, you know, used her name in the statement. And I was like, okay, you're not trying to just distance yourself. Like, you are just saying how you feel about the situation and, you know, acknowledging that you did work with her for, like, your entire childhood. And it must be, you know, I mean, it's just...
But I don't know about you, Tilly, to use your name.
Thanks.
I actually find this is the subject matter which I find myself coming in the conflict, which Daniel Radcliffe clearly has with J.K. Rowling. I come into that with a lot of my friends as well, which is that I have people in my life that I agree with on everything, and this is the thing that we don't agree on.
Yeah, I'm quite lucky, really, because I don't have many friends who... I don't really have anyone, I think, in my life who subscribes to the TERF ideology, i.e. trans-exclusionary radical feminism, mm-hmm. as it's known. So I've been quite lucky, really, to not have to have many of those difficult conversations. But I did have one conversation with someone I worked with, which was a very, very difficult conversation, because... she was so seemingly liberal, and I did look up to her and respect her a lot. And this suddenly was the sticking point where she suddenly, I could tell, really did not like trans people.
Yeah.
And that was it. And she just kind of, no matter what I said, it was all very sort of, you know, my children and I'm worried about male violence. And it's like, oh, well trans women aren't men, they're women. So that's not, you know, it's a really frustrating debate to be having, I think, because gender is so hard to talk about, and it's really, I think if a lot of people were really honest about why they hold the positions they hold, it's because they don't like seeing people who don't subscribe to their understandings of what gender is, and that it upsets them to look at them. I think that it's bigotry.
It really is,
and it's all kind of concealed through this, you know, changing rooms and toilets and all the rest of it. And I've never felt afraid in a toilet in my life. I felt afraid when I've been alone with cis men. That's when I've, you know, been afraid in my life. I've felt afraid when I'm walking home at night, you know. Yeah. It's a hypothetical debate.
I think that is the issue. That's the nail on the old noggin, is that it's all so theoretical. And I think, because I actually think it's less clear than that. I think some people are just really bigoted. And I think some people are openly TERFs and they don't, you know, and some people have subconscious issues with things that don't conform to gender. And I think some people, I really like, there was a tweet by this person called, she's just called Tina on Twitter, @TinaZH something something, and she said life gets easier once you realize everyone is just projecting. And I think that's why there's this, it feels like this war between non-trans women, particularly like older, often people who've been part of like pride movements in the past, not to generalize, obviously this is a minority within those people, but that seems to be the people most vocal that I'm aware of on Twitter, them and Graham Linehan, and trans people. And it seems to be this protective thing based on their own trauma and their own kind of experience of sexual violence. And that was JK's justification, wasn't it?
Well, this is the thing, because I think you are right. I don't think that it's just a blanket, like people start out hating trans people and that's how they get kind of co-opted into this way of thinking. I think a lot of it does stem from playing on trauma that women have experienced.
Exactly, and it's weaponized to pit people against each other, because some of the people I've spoken to who are my friends and who are, like I say, I agree with on everything, and that's the other thing, I think we shouldn't assume that our listeners all agree with us, like we quite...
No, but openly. I do know that we have some trans listeners and...
Completely, but what I find really fascinating is I bang my head against a wall when I'm having this conversation with people who I agree with on everything else, because it's really hard to say to people if they've got a really personal experience that slightly warps their view of this kind of subject matter. It's hard to argue with a feeling, isn't it? And it's where all bigotry stems from, is a feeling of it just feels wrong and I just don't like it. And if that feeling is really entrenched in assault or abuse or sexual violence, it's even more difficult to kind of navigate. And a lot of my friends who have issues with things like non-binary spaces or the idea that sex doesn't really exist biologically, or which are all things I disagree with, like I think that sex is a spectrum, and I think trans women are women. Like, I want to be really vocal that I'm not trying to give oxygen to those views. But it's interesting, how do you change people's minds when they are so core to that? They're a gut feeling rather than necessarily a logical response. And a lot of my friends I disagree with really vocally say, like, I really want to support trans people. And obviously there are trans people dying all the time, and I don't think that's right. But on the other hand, there's like this cognitive dissonance of, I feel that way and I want to stand with trans people, but equally, for example, I've got a friend who works in like a safe house for women who've experienced sexual violence, and the fear that those women may no longer have that safe space. And I have to say to her, that's not a reality. Like, nobody is arguing that. No trans woman is arguing that that space shouldn't be free anymore. And that's where it's being weaponized, isn't it? It's a legitimate fear of safe spaces becoming unsafe. That's a completely legitimate fear. But what people are then doing is using that legitimate fear to provoke your kind of bias towards a certain group of people, which is not legitimate. And I don't think you have to be an inherently evil person to have that muddied in your mind. And I just find it so, I just don't know what the solution is to changing people's position on it. And it's why I think the JK Rowling situation online is so interesting at the moment, is it's not changing anybody's position. Like, everybody's becoming really hardened in their camps, and it's why her tweet is so damaging. And I did have some sympathy for her in the past when she said things and people have really attacked her, but actually I've changed my mind about that, because she has so much power. And what's really scary is that she's not giving people this idea that trans women aren't women and trans men aren't men. She's legitimizing an idea that people already have, and then they're all retweeting it, and she's got so much kind of power. And it's why everybody's shouting her down so loudly, but by them shouting her down so loudly, it just hardens people's position in both camps, doesn't it? And it's like a really, I've personally, because I've experienced so many people I know having those views that I really don't agree with, I'm always really interested in how you genuinely have a dialogue about it where you can change people's minds.
Because I think what's really frustrating is how a lot of this debate, and also a lot of the radicalisation of women, has basically entirely taken place online. And it's interesting how Twitter has been used in that way, because as we all know at this point, it's not really useful. it is useful up to a point, but...
for nuance or...
Yeah, and also the algorithm and all the rest of it. So really what happened with JK Rowling is... she kind of dipped her toe into the water of turfdom. And people, you know, who notice everything that people do online, had noticed that she had started to follow some really quite nasty accounts online. Yeah. And they wanted answers. But instead of... of course, online on Twitter, what happens is... people don't just message someone and go, oh, I see you're following that person. I don't think they're very nice to trans people, and I think you should read these articles and these books, and maybe reach out to some trans charities, have a chat with them, mm-hmm. and hopefully you'll change your mind. They immediately went to, you're a fucking piece of shit, die, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And it's not my place to say whether that's right or wrong. JK Rowling is a person who has an immense amount of power. But the way that happens to JK Rowling is also a similar thing that happens to people with less power. And that's why I think it's important to talk about it. So someone says something that's problematic or wrong, they get a lot of abuse for it and some constructive criticism. And then what the TERF movement does is they're immediately there with a kind of wave of unending solidarity and support and almost kind of love bombing. And that kind of outpouring of love then kind of almost grooms that person, I think, into going, oh...
these guys are nice.
I like this. This is good. I want this
to
carry on.
I'm feeling good about myself than someone telling me to die.
Yeah.
Makes you feel like you're doing the right thing, you're on the right side of the battle, totally. I completely agree.
And I just think that it's just easier to not apologise, isn't it?
Oh my God.
It's just easier to just double down and dig your heels in and think, well, all these people think I'm great, so... Yeah.
And if you're as well, if you're someone, I just can imagine getting to that level of fame and power and being like, but I'm just a person, and actually you are when you close your door, but on Twitter you have so much power. And you're not, but it must be really hard to fathom that if you are just, particularly, she has been through a lot of stuff, and I think a lot of people feel this is a slight, like, oppression Olympics thing, isn't it, of who's had the worst time, and if you've had personal experiences that you find really hard, and then you're being shouted at and called evil, and, you know, for really legitimate reasons, and by people who have every right to be angry at you, yeah, like you say, it's going to make you dig your heels in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What I find so interesting, and it's the Graham Linehan position as well, so the writer of Father Ted, who is really vocal on Twitter.
I don't think he wrote that.
I love that.
I think that was Ardlo Hanlon who wrote Father Ted. Is that Ardlo? Is that his name?
You mean the father? Oh, father.
No. Dougal.
Oh, Dougal. Oh, yeah. Please, let's give him the credit. What I find really bizarre about him, and it's a similar thing to a lot of people who are very anti-trans on Twitter, is they almost feels like they think that trans people are like the majority issue that's happening at the moment, and that it needs fighting. And that I've spoken to people, like particularly older sort of academic people, who are like, well, this is the biggest issue of our times. And actually, if you just look at your day-to-day reality, it is not impacting society or culture in the way that you fear that it is. And obviously for trans people it's an enormous movement and it's fantastic, there's more visibility and presence, but for anti-trans people, I just don't really understand why this is. And this thing with JK, why is this the battle that she's choosing to pick? This is not the enemy here. I just find it really baffling.
I was in a room with her once.
You were? You said she was very beautiful.
Very beautiful. Money.
Yeah, can buy you nice stuff.
She was very beautiful and very... There was an aura of fucking power around her, like big time.
Wow. It's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the debate of, does this take away from the art that she's made, but also does it take away from all of the really fantastic things she's done as a philanthropist? You know, she should be wealthier than the Queen, and she's taken herself off the Forbes list by how much money she's given away.
Through actually being taxed and through her charitable donations, I think she maybe became the first person to not be a billionaire because they'd given away.
And that must be so much work. You know, I think she meets once a week with a board of people who all decide, they read every letter that's sent to them. They give just so much of her money away, but are really clever with how they give it and how much and where to. And, you know, she has done enormous good as well as enormous damage. I wonder how much, particularly with things around trans rights, I do think we're just at the beginning of a journey and a movement, and I wonder, will she within her lifetime change her mind? Because
I hope so.
The other thing about Twitter is you sort of forget deep time, don't you? Like, you forget that everything's transient and moving, and you feel like this is, you know, this is the news today and this is how people feel today, because you put down how you feel in that moment and it solidifies it forever. But maybe she is just on a process and she will
change her mind. But I guess that, you know, changing her mind doesn't mean people have to forgive her.
Yeah.
It also, it's so complex because it's like, I think people don't want to ask for forgiveness, you know, especially now that she's kind of got this group of, you know, yes men around her, love bombing her with, oh, thank you for sticking up for us. And we'll never betray you and we'll never say anything bad about you. Her apologising would involve her reneging on that group of people who, as we know, are not very nice. So,
you're right,
there's a great article actually about a lesbian who was brought into the TERF movement. Let me see if I can find it. The gender critical feminist movement is a cult that grooms, controls and abuses, according to a lesbian who managed to escape.
Wow. Where is that?
It's on pinknews.co.uk. I will send you the article. Well,
I feel like you can still.
I can't say that I'm glad we did this. Sorry, carry on.
I'm with you. I feel like the books can still stand and the messages of the books.
Oh, I think if you still want to enjoy the books,
but also
absolutely
if you
fair
are,
fucks to you.
You know, if you are a trans person or a person with gender dysphoria or LGBTQ+, and you have taken something good from the books, this is kind of what Daniel Radcliffe said, wasn't it? Is that has not gone away, because that really has come from you and your strength and how you've taken the books and interpreted them into your life, and that will never go away. Which
yeah, totally. But I can imagine it is really painful for some trans kids, you know. I
was
think
it Mermaids. A young person did a blog post on, I think Mermaid, the organisation Mermaids have been doing a really good job of sort of platforming voices of trans children, trans people, and like a big Harry Potter fan did a blog post that I recommend reading on their website. Mm.
I can imagine not wanting to read her books again or whatever it is,
and that's
because
fine too.
Especially at a young age where you really. You want to be told that that people care about you, and they want you to enter the adult world and use your voice. And I will never understand what has possessed her to have this take.
Yeah, I think that when we get to the root of that, that might be a step in the right direction. Because if we can understand her, then maybe that's a step to sort of changing her mind about stuff. Because everyone's always coming from somewhere, even when they're massively bigoted. And I do think people's minds can be changed. I really, really do.
I do believe that.
Yay! Are you an optimist, Tilly?
I am an optimist. I think...
Wow.
I think if you don't have a bit of optimism, there's kind of no point doing anything. If you don't think things can change.
That's the most like cynical version of optimism I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's copyrighted. I'm going to write a book on it.
I will be buying that.
Mm.
Okay,
you've got to go and do your rehearsal.
I do. The drama, the show will go on, even in lockdown. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you guys very much for listening. And we'll be back next week. Maybe we'll do a fun one.
We've had some good suggestions. And thank you to everyone that recommended J.K. Rowling. I do hate you, but it is good to talk about it.
It's good to talk.
I'm going to play Harry Potter Cluedo tonight. I'm very excited.
Oh, are you? JK's a turf. Oh, well. Bye.
You've been listening to Bitchin', a podcast by Tilly Steele and Helen Monks. Our music was by Dave Cribb, and our artwork was by Luke W. Robson.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.